Welcome to the Huntington Wiffle League podcast, episode 36. We're back, baby. Kind of an awkward hiatus there, wasn't it, Anthony? It's about 3 years' time that have passed since we last got together and talked about the old balls and sticks. So let's talk about it. Checking your prostate. No, we're here today to talk about wiffle ball. So we do apologize for the hiatus there. Actually, I don't. It was a much-needed break. But COVID and time have passed. And, well, COVID's still in the process of passing. And now we're ready to talk about some things. So, you know, we kind of have some big things in the works here just for some institutions with this league, namely the Hall of Fame. If you visited the website, you may have seen my article, Who Will Be Next in the Hall. We have five people on the ballot, and we're going to interview them all, or hopefully interview all of them in this episode. With me is my guest co-host is Anthony Stidham. Anthony, how you doing today, bud?
Doing great, Josh. How about yourself, bud?
I'm doing wonderful. So, you know, you're on the ballot this year. So I don't want to let you do too much talking or sway here, since this podcast is going to come out before the ballots are due, which is April 3rd. So I will do the best I can to stay objective and make sure that our listeners stay objective as well. I would say vote for me, but I'm already in. So maybe some of you guys will get to say the same. Some of you guys may get to experience the stress and anxiety involved in the election process here, whereas I didn't even know it existed, and then I was tapped on the shoulder and like, here's a plaque. I was like, all right then. So I kind of envy you guys a little bit that there's a little bit more pomp and circumstance to the situation here. So so that's what we're going to be going over today. But before I do that, I just wanted to make sure that we also give some due credit to the last class that got in there that kind of happened after our season petered out, and we didn't really address that. So we'll do that as soon as we come back right after this break. Anthony, I would be remiss if we just moved on to talking about this year's ballot without actually addressing the second class that made it in 2018. It was kind of a quiet thing that happened, and actually wasn't even on the website. Their wings hadn't been, or virtual wings, rather, hadn't been unveiled in the Hall of Fame part of the website until this month. So it's long overdue. So as much as I would love to dedicate an entire episode to just this class, and that they're all very well deserving of their own episodes individually, and in many ways they've already kind of had that throughout the history of this podcast, I figured it'd be more appropriate just to kind of talk about it a little bit and then move on to the more recent and relevant information for this year's current ballot, so that our voters will know a lot more than what they may already know about those candidates. So let's just kind of start with the class. So the 2018 Hall of Fame class was actually Drew McClanahan, Jeremy Litton, and Patrick Rail. Anthony, I mean, those are three big names. That's like Robert Redford, you know, and two other really famous old white guys. I mean, what else can you say? So, you know, there do some acknowledgement here. I don't think any of these names were a surprise for me, at least, to see into the hall. I know that you were one of the voters that put them in the hall there. So let's talk about them. You know, Drew, funny enough, is someone I talked to pretty recently after the last Pick a Card article came out, as he was wondering when his was going to come out. Maybe never. I don't know. I've made like three or four of them. They're more for my amusement. You know, I know as soon as I release that one, no one else is ever going to want to read this article. So I just want to make sure that I get all the really fun ones I want to do first. I kind of milk that anticipation. Let's hit them first here. Drew McClanahan, obviously the biggest name that made that class. I mean, is there any surprise that he made it in there. Some would say he even deserved to be in there first, but because of the rules for the limit of people that would go in there, that's kind of really the only thing. I kind of got double dated in there, and then Greg was obviously a natural choice, even above myself, to go in that first class. So, Drew, I could go on and on and on, but Anthony, I'd like your thoughts first on why he was an obvious natural choice for that class.
Man, the unicorn goat, he's a double animal. I my first year in the league, I didn't want to play him. I mean, you know, I come in halfway through the season with play white tees and really didn't know what to expect, and I see this guy on an opposite field pitching. I'm like, he won't be absent that day. I don't want to play that guy. He was power at the plate. He was finesse around the bases. He was, you know, his arm alone could have been in the Hall of Fame. So just he was a five-tool player.
I could say a lot about Drew, but honestly, it's on the website. I've done every – if I didn't have this league and I just knew him, I probably would have, like, a false wall or something, and there would just be a bunch of newspaper clippings of him, you know, in the back of my closet there. If you've ever seen Hey Arnold, I'd have a shrine like Helga Pataki had for Arnold.
Yes.
So, you know, so there's not a whole lot I could say here that I haven't already said, but, you know, hell of a guy, star player. You know, for that 2 years, his star burned bright. It's the face of our league before Jeremy kind of really, through his steadfastness, you know, very deservedly kind of, you know, assumed that role. But, you know, he put us on the map nationally. I mean, there's no denying that. He took our level of competition and the expectation, and he was a trailblazer for the talent and cultivation of that talent in this league. It just happened to coincide at the right time. It was our league's big bang, when you think about it. And still not winning what you would have thought he would have won at that time in 2014. He was a fucking tour de force in 2015, boy, I tell you. He just absolutely, you know, was on a rampage to get that trophy, and goddammit, he got it. So, I mean, there's no better player I can think of as far as, like, skill level that makes sense for to get into that hall there. So, I mean, like, I think everybody punched emphatically on that ballot for Drew McClanahan to be without question to be that first vote there. So that kind of leads us to the next guy, Jeremy Litton, which a lot of people, when they hear the name Jeremy Litton, they're like, what? Is that Jeremy Ray's middle name or what? So, but for those not to know, Jeremy Litton was a founding member of this league. He basically was Huntington Whipple League Media. He was instrumental in the creation of the first website. He helped us set up the podcast. If you watch the Whipple Talk Hour pilot episode, he produced that and directed it. Wrote some articles. I mean, and it was the voice of reason in many ways there. I mean, it's just like, if you ever read that parable of, you know, the disciples when they're on the boat in the Sea of Galilee during the storm, and Jesus was like sleeping and like calmed the ocean. It's like, what's up, guys? Like, what's the big deal? That's Jeremy Litton, basically. He is basically the Rick Rubin of this league. He takes the chaos and mayhem, filters it, and just gives you, like, well, why don't we just do this? And I, you know, anyone's been in this league longer than a minute, or has observed this league in any way, or is just a student in the game and just has just been paying attention. Wiffle ball leagues change constantly, and the Huntington Wiffle League is probably, you know, pound for pound, year for year, for the existence, you know, per capita year to year. We change probably the most over many other leagues like us. So having somebody like that is sort of like an anchor that you can kind of rely on, that can be a voice of reason during all the sea changes. My God, you can't overstate the value of someone's like that. So I remember him getting in there. That was the introduction for many people to Jeremy Litton, because he was not known as a player. He was much more of a background guy. He did a lot of the photography and stuff. He understood the big picture, the big idea of what we were trying to do, and he was trying to amplify that. So, you know, I love the guy. Cannot, you know, say enough about him. And, you know, I put an explanation point after writing his name on my ballot. So, Anthony, I don't know how much experience you got with him. I mean, you guys, I think, were technically teammates on the Plain White Tees in 2015, but I don't know if you guys ever overlapped and actually played at the same time.
No, unfortunately, I never actually got to play on the field with him. But as a player that came in, that didn't get a play with him, I'm reaping the benefits still. The podcast that I've got to co-host and host and do the things on the media side of Huntington Whiffle League is, like you said, all because of Jeremy Litton. So his introduction into the hall is, I mean, just based on his ability to put us on the map on a technical level, I mean, it's well deserved.
Of all the things he's responsible for, I mean, this is a guy that, if I asked him to do something, he didn't ask why. He just fucking did it. You know, he captained teams. He went on a lot of ill-fated ventures at my request for this league. And, you know, damn it, this guy sweat. He bled for this league. And I can't think of a more deserving and humble person that's in this hall so far. And I'm so glad that he's in it. So kind of moving on to the third and most recent inductee into the Hall of Fame, Patrick Rail. Jesus Christ. I mean, what can you say about this guy? He is a legend in this league. He is a good friend of mine. That's one of the things I've loved and missed the most about this league is I have made some of the closest friends, you know, through this league and just kind of found a lot of confidants and camaraderie in this league, and Patrick Rail is probably one of the greatest examples of that. He's someone that, from the word go, as soon as he kind of came into this league, which was as a player in the 2013 Fall Ball League, he captained a team called the Pitch Slappers. I knew immediately, I was like, this guy's witty as shit. I love him already, and I knew this guy got it and really was a catalyst for the team chemistry building that would happen in years following him joining our league. He was part of the 2015, you know, Sinemite Base Championship team, so he's got a ship. He was a teammate of mine and yours as well on Make With Ball Great Again, where I think people, you know, with him being the commissioner that same year, I think a lot of people had a hard time just dealing with the fact that there was a different commissioner, let alone somebody that said what they meant and meant what they said, which is something the league needed more than anything during that time. That people at the same time got to see this jovial, you know, different side of him. And like, he is a three-dimensional man that has a lot to offer, and he is fucking hilarious. Some of the most memorable jeers that we had done were by his hand. And I just can't say enough about the guy. There's no Huntington Whiffle League beyond 2016 without Patrick Rail. It would have crashed and burned. I was ready to just throw in the towel at the end of 2015. That was going to be it. But Patrick, he is a guy that knows potential when he sees it. And, you know, he takes the potter, you know, he takes the, you know, the clay and put it on the potter's wheel, and he puts the work in until it's done. So, I respect the hell of the guy, and I think everyone should. This guy revolutionized just about every aspect of our league, and every changes we did afterward. I don't think that we would have had the collective bravery to do those were he not willing to shake things up to do that. So, that alone, I think, makes him a deserved, you know, inductee into this Hall of Fame. But when you look at his statistics, he's actually a pretty good player. He was a team captain. He managed the 2016 Blizzard team that we took to Morenci, Michigan, and failed. we failed to qualify, but we had a great time. So, I mean, it's just, this guy has a resume in Whiffle Ball as long as my arm. I mean, it's just like, when you have a Hall of Fame and you got someone like Patrick Rail that's been in this league, there's no way this guy doesn't get in there.
I agree. Listen, one of my funnest, most fondest memories of Huntington Football League is Make Whiffle Ball Great Again. You know, me, you, Patrick, and Dunkel, just the best group of guys that I've ever played with, and Patrick running the league that year. I agree. It was he saved the league completely. It was an odd idea that really was a home run, no pun intended, obviously. And then on the field, man, he was underrated. He could play the outfield. He could pitch in a situation. He was an underrated hitter, so he's deserved it on every level to get into the Hall of Fame, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and he's the only person, I think, you know, we've had some very talented people, you know, in every role, and in the committee, I've got to see, you know, some players that, you know, I didn't necessarily think would be as vocal and talented on an administrative level. But even having seen that, I just don't think anyone else could have shouldered that load and been the Atlas to shoulder this league the way he did during the most difficult transition that this league ever went through. And it was kind of the midway point for our league. I mean, this guy, if you look at, you know, if our league is time and space, he's zero. There is BC and AD, or before Patrick and after Patrick. That is how vital he is to our league. I mean, he is the, you know, equilibrium to our league, the intersecting point. But I could go on and on and on. Basically, number one fan here. So, anyway, congratulations to those three players for making it in there. Long overdue discussion about them. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the five players that made the 2021 Hall of Fame ballot and, you know, kind of pick it apart a little bit player by player and see what we're looking at here. Just as a reminder to our voters who are voting, which as a reminder is everyone on the league organizing committee and every player that has so far been inducted into the Hall of Fame, you get a vote. Two players with the most votes make it into the 2021 class of the Huntington Whiffle League Hall of Fame. I'm pretty jazzed about that, so when we come back after this break, we'll be breaking into that. Andrew Westcott on the line with us here. He's made the ballot. Lots of things to be said about Andrew. I mean, probably one of the most consistent and best hitters in the league. He's won countless batting titles, been on NAA teams that have represented the league. He's won, hang on, he won runner-up in 2014 with 2015 Sit on My Base squad. 2016, you were on Sit on My Base that also won the championship that year. 2017, you captained Saved by the Balls, and without Jeremy Ray and many other you know, team members you'd become accustomed to having, won the championship anyway. And then 2018, you weren't part of the championship. I mean, so you got three ships under your belt here. That's something that is legendary, in my opinion. Not something that everybody can say. So, without further ado, Andrew, how's it going, buddy?
How you guys doing? Miss seeing you guys. Miss hitting bombs on all of you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
Well, we've definitely missed you too, man. I mean, it's been too long. So, we kind of have a few questions for you. As you know, you've made the ballot. Not a surprise there. So let's just kind of start from the top. What's it like to make the ballot? I mean, what are your thoughts?
No, it's awesome. We started back in the day, 2014 is when we started, maybe sooner. I don't know. But from what we started, from all the players that have been there and been through, you know, all the great players, you know, it's a pretty awesome accomplishment, you know what I mean?
So, in your opinion, Andrew, what do you think is the biggest reason that you made the ballot this year?
Probably just consistency every year, just, you know, staying consistent with the teams I've been on. We've had good teams pretty much every year. If we're not second, you know, we actually won one. I don't we probably have the title for runner-up. It was actually part of our shirts 1 year, 1 or 2 years actually. So, so just being consistent and you know, just hitting bombs, baby. That's what I was here for.
I think it was Ricky Bobby that once said, if you're not first, you're last. But there's kind of an asterisk next to that, unless you're on a team with...
If you're not Scott, first, you're not second, first, you're second.
Yeah.
That's where we were. We were there a lot.
That's not bad. I mean, that's better than most of the teams I've ended up on, which I finished in second place on your team in 2018. So thank you for that.
Welcome to the club, eh?
Runner-up, baby!
Runner-up, let's go.
So let's just cut right to it, man. I mean, do you think you got what it takes probably to make the voters, you know, have you make the cut into the class this year? Or do you think it's probably going to happen for you later on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this year is a good year. There's a lot of great players, a lot of good players, you know, in the league that we've played with for several years now. A lot of people deserving of it. But, you know, I think my stats show it. I think I'm up there, you know, with some of the best that have played in the league. So yeah, I think I can. I mean, if not this year, then, you know, whenever you guys decide to vote me in, I'll be ready for sure. Probably second place this year if I get it. So I'm used to that.
Well, second place, I still get you in the hall this year.
Yeah.
Vote, so yeah,
yeah.
It's still a winner. So
yeah.
So with you thinking that you can make the cut, man, give me a little taste of what you think that acceptance speech will be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably just thank everybody for, you know, for the league and, you know, for running it and you know, for as well as it ran, for some of the mistakes, or not mistakes, for some of the, you know, the mishaps that we've had throughout the years and you know, keeping the league together. At least the core guys, you know, stayed together, and we had a pretty solid run at it. So tournaments that we played in, and you know, it'd be something along those lines for sure. Just thanking everybody.
And I think one of the things that, you know, I think is also probably less celebrated but definitely stands out to me is anybody who's ever played on a team with you, you know, especially still on my base, because with Saved by the Balls aside, that's been kind of your flagship team. Everybody has a chance to shine. I mean, even the year I played with you, I won Strikeout King. So, I mean, it's just everybody has an opportunity to succeed on a team with you, and I think that's something that really no other captain can really say in this league, and I think that's something that probably translate across to other leagues and maybe even to other sports. That's kind of something that's really special. So that's Hall of Fame material to me, but that's up to the voters. So Andrew,
I appreciate it, man.
Really appreciate your time,
bud. I definitely appreciate it, guys.
It's really good to see you, man. I hope we see you again soon.
For sure. And if not, I'll be waiting in second place down here.
So. All right, man. Well, you take care.
All right, man. All right, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Hey. Jeremy, I don't know if I've ever heard of you before. Oh, wait. You're probably one of the most decorated players in the league, probably known as the face of the league. Little known fact, you're one of only three people in the league to ever be photographed with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. So I don't think there's really too much that could be said to justify yet another introduction for you. That hasn't already been heard 1,000 times before on this podcast.
What does it feel like to be on the ballot this year?
Well, it kind of gave me the same joy as I saw this giant weenie mobile at a gas station, and I actually got to stop and take a photograph with it and got a weenie whistle out of it too. So, I mean, it was just wonderful.
I hear that having a weenie whistle is the next best thing to being in the HWL Hall of Fame. I call me crazy. It just sounds like it is.
Well, I mean, next best thing, I mean, that's kind of our mantra for sitting on my base. I mean, we're always the next best thing.
Well played, sir. I'm glad you caught that.
Hey, Jeremy, I mean, you've had a pretty storied career here, but what in particular do you think, you know, as far as, like, a reason in particular for you, makes you stand out to the point of why you think you made the ballot this year? Like, what is that thing that kind of justifies why you think you made the ballot this year?
Well, I think that has to do with whenever we tried to do a lot of the regionals of how, or even whenever we went to the national tournaments, whenever others, you know, were struggling, you know, you all turned to me to be like that solid piece, especially for the pitching, just to keep us in the games, you know, and I showed that I was able to hold my own on the national level. And it kind of like opened up a lot of eyes to where, you know, hey, maybe this guy is pretty good. And 2015 will probably be what really set me apart from, you know, just being one of the normal guys to actually being one of the, you know, better players in the league. Only because, you know, I had a great supporting cast. Like, I don't win half the things, or I don't even, you know, contribute a lot unless, like, I had Kevin Chatton or I had Andrew Westcott or Scott Westcott. Like, all my every teammate that has ever been part of Sit on My Base knows what kind of attitude I have, and, you know, try to give my all every single time.
You know, speaking of that attitude, anybody that stepped on a wiffle ball field with you knows that you're probably the most confident person on the field at all times. If you're on the field, you're the guy that's kind of taking charge. So I think I know the answer to this question already, but you think you'll make the cut this year? You think this is it for Jeremy Ray?
I mean, do I think I'll make the cut? Like, one thing that I always do, I don't like to vote on myself to be that egotistical bastard. But at this point, I mean, my career speaks for itself. And do I think that I deserve? I think everyone that's on the ballot this year deserves to be in. Whether it's just in, whether, you know, you just contributions to the league, and if you don't have the greatest stats, I just think that everyone that's on this ballot did something special for HWL, and I do believe that, you know, I have a reason to be in the hall, and I hope that I make it. I mean, everyone keeps saying that, you know, he's a shoo-in. Listen, we were a shoo-in to win the national champion, or the championship twice, and we lost both times, so I'm always up for seeing what happens.
I think, to be fair, I think you're always just a shoe-in just to make it to the championship, but, you know, that's just a technicality. So, I mean, yeah, you're kind of mincing words here as far as, like, hey, you know, if I get in, whatever. The necessary fellatio has been paid here. But, you know, if you do make it into the Hall of Fame, you know, can you give us a little taste, you know, of what your acceptance speech would be if we had a Cooperstown, you know what I mean?
Of course, I would always, you know, want to thank everybody that I came in contact with, because this is more than just, you know, hey, we're just getting here and playing wiffle ball. I've developed a lot of friendships. I've developed a lot of relationships. You know, and it's more than just my teammates. It's everyone that has been involved with the league that, you know, we have all been a part of it. And, you know, I would just thank everybody for at that point. I would even individualize people out, especially with everyone that's part of the committee, because we've had personal connections and just have a hell of a time in our group chat. And especially, like, on our podcast, like, I enjoy all of that. And then, you know, of course, my core group of Andrew, Scotty, and Kevin, like, I would give them, like, their personal dues, because without Kevin, Andrew and I aren't here, and not even able to have our chance to even meet you guys. So, I mean, Kevin gets a lot of respect and a lot of love from me, especially because he, like I said, without him, we're not here.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's kind of the creator. He's the primordial ooze that so many well-known players that have been, you know, kind of discovered in this league originate from. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, without I mean, without Kevin Chatton, you have no Jeremy Ray. You've got no Andrew Westcott. You have no Scott Westcott. You possibly don't have, you know, something about Nick Capra is, you know, his bread and butter year was 2014, and then he came to prominence in the NWA tournament, but he was a stud in 2015. Despite the pitching rotation rules, he still shined, and that was on Kevin Chatton's team. You know, Brad Washburn and some of these other cats that kind of, you know, rose to prominence in this league and have become household names, at least in our circle here. None of that wouldn't have happened if somebody like Kevin Chatton hadn't went, you know what, I'm going to put a team into that thing, you know? So, so many people like Kevin Chatton don't really get their due 15 minutes, you know, kind of in the sun there. So, well, Jeremy, I really appreciate your time, man. I know, you know, if I had to make a short list of three people, gun to my head, of who I would be able to get on the line, like, in a moment's notice, to make a podcast, you're definitely on that list. So I really appreciate your time, man. Regardless if you make the list or not, you know, you're a fair, balanced guy, and I know you'll be happy with whoever makes the list. And if you make it, I know you're the kind of person that would appreciate it. So I really thank you for your time, man. And you got anything else you want to talk about while we still got you on the line?
No, I mean, guys, it's been great just to be able to see you guys and talk to you all again. I mean, I know that we keep in contact, especially with, you know, leading up to this podcast and the new inductees and everything else like that. And I mean, but even beyond that, I'm just happy that we're able to see each other face to face via chatting on the phone.
And it's gonna have to do.
But it's no, but no, it's honestly like I'm just thrilled, and I just. Like I said, I'm just happy that I was able to meet you all and be a part of this.
On the line, Ryan, famous for being on the Breaking Balls in the 2014-2015 season, also was part of the championship 2016 Sit on My Base team, three seasons under his belt. He's also, little known fact, part of the very short-lived Charleston Wiffle Ball League fall ball program that happened in 2013, so technically four seasons or three and a half, however you want to look at it, under his belt. Ryan, very busy writing about March Madness, so I was fortunate enough to catch him in a brief moment to get a brief interview from him. Ryan, how you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you, Jeff?
Lovely. I found my old Forester, so thanks for looking up.
No problem. Yeah, got my grass mowed today. That always makes somebody feel better, so
nice.
Feel pretty accomplished.
I thought about mowing it today, but that sounds like a better job for tomorrow. I'll probably feel the same then as well. So, well, Ryan, I'm glad you could join me here. But, you know, there's five guys, yourself included, that have made the ballot. It's the first ballot we've had in 3 years. So I'm sure it's, you know, special for everyone involved. But I just wanted to see, you know, I just had a few questions for you. But mainly I just wanted to start with what's it like to make the ballot? I know it's not the MLB here, but, you know. Well, I don't know what that's like because I wasn't on a ballot. It was just like, hey, Josh, guess what? You're in the Hall of Fame. It was kind of sprung on me. So now that you kind of know it's part of the process and so many things to like think about or whatever, what's that like?
Well, for you, it was kind of like putting Abner Doubleday in the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? You
yeah.
know, get to just kind of get ushered in, which is nice. So,
yeah.
Man, it's pretty cool. It's probably the athletic achievement of my lifetime. That's the way I like to look at it. But yeah, you know, it was such a good time in that league and so many good memories and friends from that. Yeah, I talked to Jeremy all day off and on via Messenger just about it and, you know, see some of these guys out sometimes. And, you know, it was cool, man. Anytime you're ranked number one in the country in anything, it's pretty awesome. And that obviously happened to us that first year. So Just a lot of good memories and a lot of fun, for sure. Hopefully you get something going again, like you were talking about off air there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at a career like yours, and it's no surprise to me that someone of your stature makes it to the ballot. I'm sure it would have been sooner, but we've had some marquee names that have been part of these first couple of classes, and I'm very happy to see yours make the cut this year. So kind of moving on, what do you think is the reason in particular that you made the ballot this year? So, I mean, you kind of look back at your career. I mean, there's some easy things to look at here, like, you know, you just mentioned you were on the number one team at one point in the country in 2014. You've got two championships under your belt in two different formats. So you've been part of some dominant teams, which, you know, a team is a collection of people and individuals. So, I mean, when you just look at Ryan Pritt, the player, or Ryan Pritt, the person, what is it that makes you think that you stand out, that kind of, like, was probably the clincher to get you on the ballot?
Well, you know, there were some really unique things about my career I think sets me apart. Number one, I had the best sock game of anyone that's ever played in the HW.
Yeah.
Without question. Second, maybe along with yourself, probably the best taste in music of any player that's ever played in the league. And you know, it's funny. You know, I was a pretty decent hitter. If you look at numbers-wise, especially second year after the rubber move, that really fell into my lap. That was a big thing for me. But, you know, there was the whole GM aspect as well. The team that we were able to kind of get to number one, and the team we won a title with was, you know, after that Charleston brief stint in the Charleston League you were mentioning, I kind of built that team. And I think it kind of changed things when I brought Drew in and he was throwing 195 miles an hour and cussing at everybody, including little kids. I mean, it was just a ball of intimidation to everybody. And you saw an influx of flamethrowers after that. I think our team kind of changed the league a little bit, the way it you know, teams built and the way that they stacked lineups and things. And, you know, I was our secondary pitcher. I wasn't hardly Pedro Martinez out there, but I think I had my share of wins and kind of checked boxes in that area too. Especially, I don't know if you remember, but Drew went down with an injury on the mound the second year, and that kind of went to me.
Yep.
I'd never seen anyone's elbow bruise through just from throwing wiffle balls, but
yeah.
I told you all we needed to know about the effort he was putting in. But I don't know what my career record was down there, but I would like to know. I didn't lose many. There was a few, but not many. And, you know, it was just pretty cool to be on there with these other guys, too. I mean, Jeremy and Andrew especially are two guys I got to play with, and I know how good they are. I kind of think Jeremy's probably a shoe-in. I was looking at his pitching and hitting numbers. We kind of compared notes today, and it's pretty astounding what he did on both sides of it. So, just cool to be with these guys, man. Hell, good to talk to you again, too. There, looking baby-faced and fresh-faced. Look good, Josh.
Yeah, I have stubble, thank you. I've got a, you know, 5:30 o'clock shadow. Thank you very much.
I've got the full midnight going on. I think this is the longest I've ever been here. So,
yeah. Well, kind of moving on to the next question here is, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're talking about our, you know, the careers and everything like that. But, you know, the voting tally is supposed to be completed by April the 3rd, which is next Saturday, I believe. So we're about 10 days out from finding out who's going to make it in there. Do you think you're going to make the cut and be part of the 2021 class?
I think it's a 4-for-1 deal because I don't see any way that Jeremy doesn't get in. Like I said, with his pitching and hitting numbers, I mean, his numbers are kind of closer to Drew's than they are any of us, which, yeah, you know, puts him near that shoe-in category. I don't know if I had a vote, he'd get one, and not just because of his haircut. But, you know, I think I got a shot. You know, I think, you know, the way I look at things, a lot of things come down to the wins. You know, I know Tom Brady gets a lot of love statistically, but he is what he is because he has so many championships. And going 2-for-3 and then the other year being ranked number one in the country and building that team from the bottom to the top, you know, probably weighs pretty heavily. But, you know, all of these guys are great players. Andrew's a great player. I probably would feel like his and my numbers are probably pretty close, all things being considered. So,
yeah.
You know, just depends. I don't know who all's voting in it. I can't remember who I cussed out back then, so hopefully it was none of you guys. But,
wasn't me. I know that for sure. That's all I can say.
Didn't beam anybody or hit anybody in the face with anything or anything like that. But, yeah, you know, I think I got a shot. We'll see. Hopefully if you guys continue to do this over the next few years. I'll get in eventually anyway, but it would be nice to get in there with a guy like Jeremy or Andrew or one of the guys I know and played with. So we'll see.
Yeah. You know, if you make it into the Hall of Fame, which, you know, I'm sure it means more or less to people across the board here, but we don't have any type of induction ceremony. We don't have a physical space for the plaques and things like that. But if we would do something like that, indulge me if you would. Give me a little taste of what that acceptance speech would be.
You know, for me, it's weird. I'm a writer. I would almost feel better writing a written statement about it.
Yeah. Typical writer.
Yeah, I communicate better that way. Yeah. I tend to get turned away when I'm speaking out loud. But, you know, it would just be something. I would have to throw some barbs in there, obviously. Keep blasting Jeremy about working at a tanning bed. That would be somewhere in there, obviously. You got to thank you guys. I mean, you were mentioning the prestige guys that have got in the Hall of Fame. I can speak for people like Jeremy and Drew and I and probably Paul even and some of the other guys that played, just about how much we appreciated all the effort you guys put in there because, you know, I was around, I was helping setting up fields. It was a mammoth undertaking, not to mention the videos and the statisticals that you guys did. I mean, Jeremy sent me my career numbers today and I was kind of just joking, laughing with him about it. Like, I can't believe that my numbers are still out there.
Yeah, someone took the time to do it, and then it still lives on. Yeah, it's just
I'll always be able to, you know, my stepdaughter's nine, and I'm like, hey, look how good I was at something at one point in my life. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's like if you had some drinking buddies and played Yahtzee in college, and you didn't know it, but somebody was all like, hey, do you realize how many times you Yahtzee'd? It's fucking crazy.
Right, yeah. There would probably be something in there about getting to witness the Guinness Book of World Records furthest a bucket has ever been punted in the history of mankind. That memory will go down in infamy. Fireworks celebrations after home runs, that was a thing for a while. Drew McClanahan spinning gravel all over every car in the parking lot leaving after our first loss.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah, yeah, you'll notice his my article, the part about him did not mention his sportsmanship.
I've played sports with Drew since I was 14. I can purely attest to all of that. But, you know, being considered for something like this is awesome. We all respected the league so much, and it got heated. Obviously, you're not going to put that many dudes who are that competitive together, but... Yeah. At the end of the day, we were all friends. I considered all those guys friends, all of you guys friends, and it would just be cool to be in that with you guys and, you know, and know that we had some kind of impact on that league where we were just kind of the outsiders coming from Charleston and no one down there really knew us when we got there. And, you know, like I said, I think Drew deserves as much credit as anybody for just kind of revolutionizing that league. I remember you talking about how it was a hitter's league before we got there, and I think that kind of changed how you had to win down there because no one really had what we had in terms of pitching. And obviously, you know, then came Capra and Hessen and Fisher, who shouldn't have been allowed to join a team in midseason in 2014, but that's a whole other thing. And
lest we ever forget. Yeah.
I don't think there's been many times that Drew and I have drank together in the last 7 years and that hasn't come up. I'm sure we don't remember it, but
I get texts about it late at night. I mean, it's just, you
know. Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, you think about the chances you didn't take in life, the degree you didn't get at that time that Fisher joined the league and cost you a title. But it's awesome. Glad to see you guys kicking the tires about getting it up and running. It's more just, you know, being back around you guys and getting to talk to you and Jeremy, who I found out's like my neighbor, by the way. Jeremy,
yeah, he lives in Pocono. It's crazy. And yeah. I live in Kanawha City. I'm like, how have you still not been to my house other than there's a global pandemic? What is your excuse? You know,
like, yeah, right.
It's like, what, you think you're going to die or something?
Yeah, you know, I have an acre of land. I'm right on the Kanawha River here. I have some cookouts, and we'll have to get all you guys down here for sure this summer. Sure. I'd like to throw it out. And, you know, I have an acre, and it's flat. If we had to set up a field here, it would be pretty easy.
I think we could do something. I mean, we've done far more with far less. So, you know, and you kind of, like, epitomize what I normally kind of define. I mean, everybody, you know, that went to public school anyway, you know, high school or college, you know, you want to find someone that probably could tell you the best story, find the quietest person in the room. You know, right. So that's you kind of definitely meet that definition, and you know, I could not be more proud to have you in the hall as a inductee mate or whatever. I don't know what the word is, you know, colleague or whatever. You know, I hope you make it, but if not, I'm sure your time will come soon enough. So I really appreciate your time, man. You got anything else going on you want to talk about or promote or anything while I've got you on the line here?
Well, I just wanted, you know, I know Jeremy's going to be on there later. I'm sure Andrew will listen in. I just wanted to remind both of them that they were the Buffalo Bills until Tom Brady came to town and got them that ring. So just in case that gets lost on those guys. But, you know, I have to get my barbs in. That's just who I am. So
yeah.
I don't think they would expect anything less. I know I don't. When they get on later, it's going to be fun. But, you know, like I said, I love both of those guys, man. Good luck to both of them. And anytime them or you or Greg or Jeremy or – whoever else wants to come down and sit by the river in the fire and drink a beer, man, I'm here in Poca. Come on down.
I'm game, man, especially if there's any fishing involved. I don't care if I lose my whole tackle box in the river. I'm all about it. All right, that was Ryan Pritt, player and captain of the Breaking Balls from the 2014-2015 season. Won the championship with the Breaking Balls in 2015. Also part of the championship 2016 Sit on My Base team. Such a class act. Ryan also is a sports writer for the West Virginia Charleston Gazette paper, and he also is part of a morning sports podcast on The Jock, which is an AM station in the Charleston, West Virginia area. Check it out. Bryce Clark on the line, captain of the Mothmen, commissioner of Wild and Wonderful Wiffle League in Mason, West Virginia, the torchbearer for wiffle ball in the state of West Virginia. Bryce, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. Great. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. So I love hearing from you. I know we catch up every now and then, but it's always good to hear your voice. So, well, Bryce, you know, you're definitely the youngest person on the ballot here, so I'm sure it's an honor, but you look at stats like yours, and no doubt, in my mind, they'd be along on the ballot, even though they're young, still playing and everything. You know, it's either now or it's definitely coming down the pike. You're getting in the hall. So, you know, but what's it like? I mean, I know that, you know, you're part of the committee, and you know, you kind of knew this thing was coming down the line, but voting opens up this weekend. And it'll be open for about a week before it's announced. But what's it feel like to make the ballot?
Oh, it's really cool. We have your name up there to possibly be in the Huntington Wiffle Hall of Fame. It's always fun. Like when I go out of town, like when I go up play at like Mid-Atlantic Wiffle or somewhere like that, and that, like I'll wear my Mothman jersey and it has that patch on it about Huntington Wiffle League, and I'll tell them about like that's how I got my start and stuff. So it's really cool to maybe be in the hall for Huntington Wiffle.
So, you know, now that, you know, we've kind of acknowledged you're on the ballot, I mean, and you've had a pretty short career compared to some of the players on this ballot here, but just a very loud and impressive career all the same, just in our league. You know, we've kind of talked a little bit about, you know, like you do Mid-Atlantic Wiffle, you've played in the NBA tournament a few times, and you play down in Texas, and you kind of really entertain, like, whenever there's an opportunity to play wiffle ball somewhere and you think it's going to be competitive, you're there. But what, you know, if you really had to limit it to one thing, you know, one reason why you think you made the ballot this year, you know, how your name ended up on this ticket, what one thing would you say that was?
I would, like, I remember the very first tournament that the Mothmen came in, and I was... I think you all had picked Dinger City to win it all. And they beat us in, like, the very first game, and we battled all the way back, and we beat them twice to beat them in the championship. And, like, from there on out, like, that whole Mothmen, like, we won out every tournament we played in. We never lost one. We kept winning, winning, winning. That may have been the only game we lost, so me being the captain, whatever, having some guys come in, like, it was always consistent that no matter where, like, the Mothman or where I was at, you were on a winning team. So I think that's what the big factor is just the amount of wins.
You know, voting opens up this weekend, and then it's going until the end of the week, April 3rd, so it's going to be open for about 7 days. And everyone's going to be voting. We got, you know, 5 people from the committee and then 3 people. So 8 total voters between the committee and other people that have made it into the hall so far. Do you think by the time the votes are tallied that you're going to be the one to make the cut into the class this year, or do you think it's going to be later on?
I don't know. I think you look at the whole people who get the votes. They all were part of the older Huntington Wiffle League before I came in. They never really saw me play, and I bet a lot of it's going to do with like how they saw their guys play in the fast pitch competition against them, and I never had the opportunity to face like a Drew McClanahan or none of those guys in fast pitch competition. I got to play a little bit of fast pitch underneath the wiffle, but we were going alternating from slow pitch to fast pitch that 1 year, and then we went strictly yard league. So it's kind of hard to compare those numbers. I mean, I'll probably will get on. My guess is I'll get in later. And plus, I'm still actively playing anyways. So that's my thought on that. I'll probably just get in later.
Yeah. Like I said,
but it's cool to be considered this ballot. This is the second class to ever go in. So it's really cool to have your name in there.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be like the third overall class. I mean, there's only 5 players in it so far. And, you know, when the ballot came in, you know, we're looking at, you know, number 6, number 7, and then possibly 8, 9, 10 after that. The fact that, you know, you kind of look at that and you're like, hey, historically we've had over 100 players in this league. And you're you know, in the eyes of the nominators, top 10. I mean, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And you're right, there are kind of the more stalwart, you know, playing class that that have been around at the beginning of time. But really, when you think about everyone that's been voting, most people have been here either the entire time or they've overlapped with you. And, I, you know, and also, you know, you played during some of the most well-documented part of the league. You know, there's videos, there's photos, there's articles, there's podcasts, so many things where you've popped up there. I just know that whenever you get in there, it won't be too soon, that's for sure. So, and your work's not done yet. I mean, really, you know, when you're going to be my age, I mean, what are you, like 26 now, 27?
28.
Yeah, 28. So, I mean, you still got a couple pretty good years left in you, but by the time you hit your mid-30s here, I can only imagine the kind of things you're going to be able to say. It's like you've done so much so far, but you still got some work left to do. I know that you're miles ahead of any accomplishments I've gotten, especially on an athletic level there. But, you know, definitely well-deserved to be on the ballot in my book. So, you know, if you make the Hall of Fame, you know, this year, care to give me a taste of what your acceptance speech might sound like?
Huh. You know me.
I know you keep it pretty short.
I never think too far ahead.
Yeah.
So if I speak on it now, I may jinx it.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious. I'm just stitious.
Just a little stitious. All right, man. Well, I guess you may have time to think about it if it ever comes. It's probably a good thing we don't actually have a real ceremony. It's more of a construct than an actual, you know, physical institution. We don't have a actual Cooperstown. But I know your day's coming, man. It could be this year. It's definitely, you know, if not this year, it's going to be in the future. Wish we had more young guys like you, especially sooner. Man, would have loved to have seen what players like you and Roush and Metzger and Zussman, some of these powerhouse players you've had come through your franchise. And in years like 2013, 2014, 2015, you guys were just a day late and a dollar short to those fast pitch days, because I'm sure you would have had a lot more opportunity to shine, and that definitely would have been a lot more statistics to look back on. I waited 10 years for Bryce Clark to come along. I didn't know when he was coming. I was like, I need a Padawan to come here, because I always wanted to pass the league off to somebody. That's where Patrick came in. But I always knew I wasn't going to be able to keep this up forever, or whoever I passed it off to wasn't going to be able to keep it up forever. And there's going to need to be a new generation of wiffle ball players and wiffle ball leagues in the state. And I knew as soon as you guys came back that second year that you were the one that was going to do that. So I know you got lots of tournaments coming up. I'm not really sure. COVID's kind of screwing with everything here, but I don't know if Wild and Wonderful Wiffle has any plans set up for anything. You got any, you know, thing you want to plug while I still got you on the air here?
Oh, yeah, let's plug some stuff here. So, you know, I play in Mid-Atlantic Wiffle. I'm a stomper. I play for, you know, the Cooks team. This year, we got, there's like 6 to 8 tournaments that are set. I have the dates. I'm going to try to figure out. I don't have anything set up right now for Wild and Wonderful Wiffle. I have some kids from Fairmont and stuff. They were asking me questions about when's Wild and Wonderful going to get up running. Mm-hmm. They were asking about, like, where's Wiffle Ball at? And since they're up in, like, Fairmont, I said, look up the Will Waves.
Yeah.
The, with his life league. You know,
up in Pittsburgh.
Good guys. I play. Oh, yeah. I play with them and at United. They're a good set of guys to play with. You know, Jacob David Kamish. He's another really good guy for Wiffle Ball. I have a lot of fun with those guys, playing with them. But whenever I know something, I mean, I'm going to post it on the Wild and Wonderful Facebook page. And, of course, Huntington will probably share. I'm just trying to see. I'm picking out what dates I'm going to be at, like for – or I'm looking at mall dates. I'm looking at the United Wiffle dates. The NWA is in September this year.
Yeah.
So I want to get, like, a few tournaments in for Wild and Wonderful, mainly for – I mean, eligibility for that. But then at the same time, like, I want to make sure that I'm there to help run that. I don't want to pass the burden off to someone else.
Yeah, of course.
To host the tournament. Hmm. Plus, Huntington Wiffle, there's news. There might be a couple tournaments this year.
Yeah, it could be. You may not even have to fire up Wild and Wonderful Wiffle. You guys could just go representing Huntington. So who knows?
We coexist.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wrote an article on the website under the Wiffle Clickbait column series about historic West Virginia leagues. And one thing I remarked on, I went back 20 years. I went all the way back to the late 90s, early 2000s, and documented every league. Funny enough, somebody actually reached out to me that had some knowledge of leagues back in the 70s and 80s. I'm waiting to hear back from them to get more information on that, to kind of revisit that article. But anyhow, very seldom do two leagues in West Virginia exist at the same time. So if Huntington Wiffle League actually manages to, you know, fire up or sort of, you know, pull a Lazarus to some extent, it would be the first time, probably since like 2005.
Stronger, better than ever.
Yeah, if we got create a Frankenstein's monster between our two organizations here. But it would be the first time since 2005 that there's been two leagues in West Virginia at the same time. But Bryce, I really appreciate your time today, buddy, and you know, I look forward to talking to you in the chats and everything. So, good luck with the election or whatever. I'm not really sure what to call this, the running. And then if you're not in this year, man, I'm sure I'll see you in the future. In that hall. And then can't wait to see you again the next time, whenever that's going to be. You take care.
Hey, appreciate talking to you. Catching up. Have a good one.
Anthony, I forgot about you, bud. You're on the ballot.
I'm here. Believe that.
Well, I guess out of convenience, you know, many other reasons. I guess I might as well ask you these questions as well. So, I don't know. Hit me. What's it like to make it on the ballot, man?
I tell you what, man. It's pretty flattering, actually, just because of the way that I come in the league, just by accident, by sheer accident, running into Ronnie Canterbury. And said, hey, man, you ever want to play wiffle ball? And here I am just a few short years later with playing the game and having a contribution on articles on the website, as podcasts, and as a committee member. It's just, it's very flattering, man.
Yeah. And, I mean, you've had a pretty good career yourself. I mean, you came in 2015, and you were with us till the end there. And so, I mean, you've got about... you know, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, you know, we've got four full seasons there. Well, three and a half, really. But, I mean, I think
any, if you played more than two games with Plain White Tees, that counts as a season. You heard me. Yeah. You know, so I'll count as four. Back when I was in school, if something was half or more, you rounded up, baby. But, you know, so you got four seasons under your belt. You've kind of had a lot of things going on. But, I mean, is there anything that stands out in particular as a reason you think probably landed you on the ballot here?
Man, I think it was just I think it was my willingness to do whatever the league needed to excel as a player. My stats are okay. I mean, you know, I was never at the bottom of the list. I was never at the top of the list, but I was always consistent.
Yeah.
But as a contributor, with being a part of the committee and helping out with the NWLA team that 1 year, and then helping you with podcasts and articles and such, man, I think that just whatever the league needed at that time, I was down to do whatever made us succeed.
Yeah, that's not gone unnoticed, man. I appreciate it. And so let's just get to it, man. I mean, the voting's coming up pretty soon. It's going to open up, and it's not a very long window. It's about a 10-day window there that the voting's going to happen. Do you think you're probably going to make it into the class this year?
If I do, I think this would be the best year for me to do so, just because it would be more to me than anything to go in over some of the guys that are in this ballot. I mean, if you think about it, look at the guys that are on the ballot this year. If you put those guys on the field, I think that they just kind of dominate a game as overall as players. So if I was to go in this year, I think that would be a real honor just to get in over some of the guys that are on this ballot, because I think everybody's deserving. But I think with everything that I've done over the years, I think that I can make it, and I think that I'd be very appreciative of that.
All right. Well, I like the confidence and the humility at the same time. It's a good blend there. So I think it's a perfect segue into the final question here is, you know, if you do make it into the Hall, Anthony, what do you think you'd say in your acceptance speech?
Well, I mean, there would be the – I got to thank the guys that got me there and the people. First and foremost is the smallest guy, no pun intended there, Ronnie Canterbury, like yeah. I mentioned. We were in the same shop, card shop one day, and he was just like, hey, man, you ever play wiffle ball? I said, yeah, in school, middle school, elementary school. He's like, you should try it. We have a league. And he said, there's a team that needs some players. I didn't know it was playing my tees, obviously, but thank God for my willingness to do so. But yeah, Ronnie Canterbury is the guy. He's the one that introduced me to the league. And then I got further more than just the teammates. I know you and I played on a team together, but you and Greg and the guys that really helped to get the league together for years before I got there to give me the chance and trust me to be on a committee, to let me contribute to the website and the podcast and things like that. All of you guys to trust me to carry on that torch with HWL. And then, of course, the teammates. You know, the guys that, when I wasn't having a good game, you know, pick your head up. You'll get a dinger the next time, or you'll make a better play next time. And then just for my personality, I have to say all the pitchers that I broke their necks and caught my bat flips.
You know, you kind of describe yourself as sort of a middling player, and I don't agree. 2016, I was looking through some stats recently, and I'll be honest, I was it was late at night, and I was wondering, like, how did I size up? I felt like I did pretty good in 2016. I was the second best player on the team, which you and I will make Wiffle Ball great again together that year. You were almost double as good as I was that year. I mean, it's just you're someone that just got it, and you're 100% right. I would say out of the five guys on this list, you know, you're definitely high on the contributory level there compared to the four of them. You know, everybody contributed to the league in their own way, even if they weren't on the committee or anything like that. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, for something needed to be done, I could always count on you to do it. And something else that I think is less noticeable is most people tend to try to group homogeneously. They want to be on the same team again. They want to be on a team just because it's successful, or they want to be on it because they know the people on the team or friends or whatever. I don't think you ever played on any incarnation of a team season to season. You've always played on a completely different team. And other than me, and if there's anyone else I'm not thinking of, you know, forgive me, but most people, I think on average, your average player in the HWO played two seasons, maybe three. It's probably like 2 point whatever seasons. So it's a luxury that most people don't get a chance to indulge in. But I mean, I think I've played, you know, when I really think about it, aside from 2012 to 2013 when I played the Terrahawks, I think I played on a different team and franchise every year, year to year. And that's a thing. If you have that opportunity to do that as a player, if you played more than a few seasons with us, you missed out. It's, Anthony, regardless of what happens, man, you're Hall of Fame in my book. And I know if you don't get in this year, it's only a matter of time, buddy. So you just hang in there. As a tradition, we're hoping to keep going for quite some time. And, you know, just to remind people, there is a poll online. If you go to www.huntingtonwiffle.wix.com/home, there is a menu. If you remember what a website looks like, you have everything on your phones now. Dust off the old laptop there. Actually, we have a mobile site. It looks basically like the desktop site. I don't know if you noticed, but cell phones are humongous now. You also got tablets and other things like that. Anyway, I'm rambling. If you go to the menu there, you'll see a section for awards and such. Go to the Hall of Fame section, and there is an online poll so that fans and players and, you know, whoever wants to vote can. Doesn't have any bearing on who makes it into the Hall this year. No, but it's kind of nice to kind of get an idea of what people's feelings are on it. So who does get to vote? I'll remind you. Everybody that's on the committee, as well as anybody who's been inducted into the Hall of Fame prior to this point. That gives us 8 votes. The 2 players that get the most votes make it into the Hall. So, you know, typically only 4 people make it into the ballot, but we had a 2-way tie for the 4th spot. Given the time that's passed since the last time we did this, we decided, hell, let's go ahead and put all 5 of them on there. So many people deserving to be on this ballot, and so that we can kind of preserve the integrity and something to look forward to with regard to this institution and the league, I think it's important that we kind of limit the amount of people that we consider and admit into this hall year to year. That way, regardless of if our league continues on in some form or another, gives us something to kind of look forward to and be nostalgic for. So, you know, just as a reminder to any potential voters out there, our candidates on the ballot are as follows: Jeremy Ray, Andrew Westcott, Anthony Stidham, Bryce Clark, and Ryan Pritt. Myself, I will be reaching out to you directly for anyone that has a vote to cast so that I can get your votes. And then on April the 3rd will be the final day to cast your ballot. And then shortly thereafter, the class of 2021, our third class into the Hall of Fame, will be announced. And then their pages will follow shortly thereafter. Anthony, it's been a pleasure. I know it's a little unorthodox since you were on the ballot. And I know that you probably had some reservations about guest co-hosting here. But given circumstances, like always, you're willing to step in and do what needed to happen there. I appreciate it, buddy, and I miss you more than words can say. And everyone that's on this ballot, and everyone that was, you know, part of this podcast, everyone that's, you know, reached out to me since we started posting articles and things, really do appreciate the contact with you guys. I know it's rough right now. We're a year plus into COVID-19 and all the various lockdowns and spikes. Some of you guys may have had COVID. Some of you may be lucky enough to not have had it. Some of you may be getting vaccines or having reservations about getting those vaccines and so on and so forth. So much could be said. But if you're listening to this podcast, you're either bored, horny, can't blame you there, or you're probably not looking for medical information about a global pandemic. So rather than listen to some jackass like myself, if you go to the CDC.com or other reputable websites such as those, you may be able to find the information you're looking for. Don't be silly. Wear a mask. Be careful. Take care of your loved ones and yourselves. And take care of each other. Really appreciate your all's time. We will let you know if there's going to be any activity for the league later this year. We certainly hope so. But we're being cautiously optimistic. And hopefully we'll have some event of some kind later this year. The organizing committee is working on the details for that. And we'll keep you posted. And as always, we appreciate your time, your loyalty to the league, and please stand by.